Welcome everyone to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on Thursday, February 16th, 2017. This is Payman Mutahide, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. I founded Freedom Law School, folks, over 20 years ago in 1996. To educate and empower the average American like you to live free of oppressive taxation and control, to expose the fraud of the income tax system. Folks, I believe there is no law requiring the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. And on top of that, folks, our monetary system is fraudulent. It's not, our money is not printed by government. All created by banks out of thin air as a form of loans to the government, corporations, and we the people. And they charge interest on this money that they have created out of thin air. Literally, banks create money out of thin air and lend it out. And they charge interest on money that did not exist in the first place. As incredible as it sounds, that's how it is. But we're not taught these things until, of course, you get to take your economics class in university, which most people do not take, like I took. So, Freedom Law School is a source of education, solutions, and answers that will work for you. And I say education first because I believe in people making educated actions. There's a lot of ignorance out there, folks. People say things without thinking, without reading, without analyzing things, with that God-given brain that each of us have. Without doing that, they just take actions that gets them in trouble. Or they don't do the right things that could benefit them. So Freedom Law School urges all of you to not believe me, the government, or anybody else out there on the internet. That of the government and anybody else for yourself easily on the internet. So you can make informed, wise choices on how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. Since 1996, folks, I've put together close to 10 different courses on how to live free, teaching you about the U.S. Constitution, your rights, and the proper steps and procedures you need to take to preserve and defend and uphold your rights and your property and your freedom. So folks, if you've been looking for the answers in education, you came to the right place because we got the education here at Freedom Law School. Our website is livefreenow.org. livefreenow.org. Go there, set up some great education there for free. I will send you 1 year of free freedom law education. They will not find any place to find this kind of information. Freedom Law School also provides the answers that you'll be looking for. That's why I put together oil and simple fear packages to solve the problems that you're facing out there with the corrupt, out of control U.S. government that we have nowadays. I mean, it's so bad, folks. The government, the people of the government, and the crooked government paid by its courts, like the Ninth Circuit Federal Court of Appeal, are going against the popular, duly elected President of the United States, because he's not doing what the people in power, the establishment, the big banks, the corporate people with money. He is going against them. So these courts feel confident that they can go beyond the constitutional authority and rule against the president when he has clear rights to defend Americans from the foreign invasion of these people from countries that are potential terrorists. That's how bad it is. If he can get messed up, Donald Trump, the president, how about you and I, the average American? What kind of a chance do we have? The tens of millions of people who don't have a voice because we don't pay their politicians, we don't give them re-election campaign money like the super rich billionaires and banks do. Offer solutions. Now, you may file an income tax or not. Either way, Freedom Law School can and will educate and help you, even though I keep insisting and repeating and saying there is no law that requires you or me or the average American to file and pay income tax. Go to livefreenow.org. There's great amount of information there. If you want to read a lot more, please go to freedomlawschool.org. There's a lot more educational material there to check out. And we will mail the education package to you at first and email the rest to you. At these conference calls, folks, I always do a class about a certain freedom subject, and I will answer questions for free of charge anytime remaining in our 2 hours that we have together every Thursday night. And sometimes in the future, I'll be having some guests on the show as well. You can ask questions. So this program is expanding and modifying. Hopefully soon we'll be on video as well. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the 1040 income tax confession form. You know, most everybody thinks in America that by April 15th, they have to file a 1040 income tax confession form, missing every turn. And if they don't do it, they think they're going to get in trouble. The worst thing is they think they might end up in prison if they don't file the 1040 income tax confession form. And that people online tell me, oh yeah, you don't file, you're gonna go to jail. Well, my reply to them is not only there is no law requiring the average American like you and me to file and pay the federal income tax, but also that people who file, okay, go to jail for a lot longer, folks. In our conference call on February 9th, I covered how IRS, over 90%, close to 95% of people that they put in prison are filers, people that filed 1040 income tax confession form. So if you missed that call, you can go on the blogtalkradio.com and the, on your YouTube, we have the last week's conference call about the subject of filers going to jail a lot more times than non-filers. People don't file a 1040 form. Tonight, I'm going to cover how filers go to jail for a lot longer prison sentences than non-filers. As incredible as it sounds, and people call me all kind of stuff for seeing it online. Oh, you're lying. Fake news. Scam. Really? Well, you be the judge, folks. Because everything about this issue, I'm going to be able to show it to you by going to the United States government's own website, U.S. government website. At the government printing office, gpo.gov. Write this down, folks. We're going to go to gpo.gov, and you're going to see this. You'll see the law for yourself and read the law for yourself and see what it says. See whether the need leave CPAs, tax preparers, bookkeepers, accountants, lawyers, and these professionals, are they there right there to say, oh, if you don't file, you're going to go to jail? Or whether Freedom Law School is correct, that filing a 1040 income tax confession form is much more dangerous to your freedom and can potentially land you for a lot more longer prison sentences. So to do that, folks, as usual, what I'd like you to do is to go to your computer, whether it's a laptop, tablets, personal computer, smartphone, look up these laws. Now, first of all, if you don't know this, the federal law is in 50 different categories. They call them United States Code. And each code is like a category, basically. Think category versus code. You should be in the United States categories, but they don't do that. They call the code. And the abbreviation for that is USC. Okay. United States Code. And there are different categories covering different subjects, like, you know, railroads and banking and military, you know, money, different things. Well, Title 26 or Category 26 deals with taxes. So they call these categories titles. The codes, titles. Category 26, Title 26, Code 26, same thing. It deals with taxes. So, well, you can find the tax laws on the internet easily. If you want to bring up a browser, you know, Google, whatever you use, you know, use Chrome, you know, Explorer, whatever, Firefox, whatever you use, and type in 26 space USC. Okay? Now, and then space. Now, all you have to do is now type in the exact section of the law or code or the title that has a particular law you're looking for. They're numbered. So in this case, I'm going to type in number 7203, section 7203. So we got 26 space, USC space, 7203. Very simple example. Hit return, enter on your computer. I'm going to be doing the same with different code sections, folks. I'm just going to give you slow education. I'm going to do it again and again. Look up these laws. Okay, now this one is, you know, the law that's for failure to file a tax return, it says. Okay, so that's why I had you type in this law, 7206. Now, sometimes, folks, instead of government, for some reason, I don't know why, government website at gpo.gov will not show up on my computer. Okay. So instead, usually what comes up is the Cornell Law School website. That's oftentimes first or second thing that shows up when you look up laws. Law.cornell.edu. Okay, educational organization, that's what I think, with edu. They do a very good job. And everybody recognizes Cornell Law School website, just like people recognize going on, you know, Wikipedia, if you look for an online dictionary, for example. Okay. As usual, the first choice comes up. So here in my example here, Cornell section 7203, willful failure to file a return, right? Now, before we click on that, notice that the law, even hitting of it says, it's not a crime to fail to file a return. It says willful failure to file a return. In other words, you must be willfully not filing and believing you were supposed to file and you still didn't file. That's what that means. Not that you just didn't file. You know, like even the government says if you're in a coma, you couldn't file. That's okay because you couldn't file because you were in a coma. You're in a hospital accident that you had all chalked up. You couldn't do anything. Okay. Even the government says you're not willful because you know, you couldn't do it. Well, either that or you didn't believe in it. The government even admits that if you're crazy, mentally insane, okay, you can't file because you don't, you know, understand you got to file. Well, I say, and the law also says, the Supreme Court also says, if you truly believe you're not required to file and don't file, you could not be put in prison. That's the law. But let's click on it and see it. Let's click on that post to see the law for ourselves. Here we go. The Cornell University Law School. Okay. And what I'm going to do when I read these laws, folks, I'm going to kind of bypass some of the convoluted language that will make it hard for you to understand this stuff. Okay. Now, the law is there. If you want to read the whole long paragraph sentence, please do so, because these laws, they make them such long sentences that it just gets too boring and confusing. So to make it easy for you, I'm going to read the relevant part of it. I'm going to skip the rest of it and go down here. Here we go. Look at this 26 U.S. Code Section 7203, willfully failed to file returns, supply information, or pay tax. Okay, well, the key part we're focusing on is a 1040 income tax confession form. Okay, so let's see what it says. It says any person required under this title to pay any estimated tax or tax. Well, first of all, the law itself doesn't make it say impose an income tax, by the way. As you see, this law does not impose a tax. Any person required under this title to pay any estimated tax. Okay, so if you're not required to, you know, to pay any estimated tax or tax, like the average American, I say, it doesn't apply. Okay, or required by this title or by regulations made under authority thereof to make a return. Right, here we go. There it is, to make a return. So anybody required to make a return, talks about here, right? Now let's go skip to the end of line four here, where it says shall be fined. Go to the part, and end of line four, it says shall be fined none more than $25,000 or imprisoned none more than 1 year or both together with the costs of prosecution. So there it is, folks. There is a law that says if you don't, if you willfully, knowingly do not, you know, file a 1040 form that you believe you're required to file, if you don't do what you know you're supposed to file, you can go to prison for 1 year. Now remember, if you do not believe you're required to file because you studied the law, that's good enough. That the government, for example, knows me, Paymon, the president of Freedom Law School, have not filed a 1040 form. Last time I filed one was in 1993. I did some sovereign state citizen, non-resident alien, silly confession from someone told me to do to get some money back withholding. I had a little bit, $600. And I rushed into that bad decision. And that was 1993. I haven't filed a 1040 form. The IRS well knows it. They listen to my conference calls. Okay. They had over about 7 years ago over 8,000 pages on me of files they gathered on me. I'm sure there's more now. And they cannot show me the law to fund the tax. And they'll try to prosecute me, put me in prison. Because then I'll beat them. I show the jury that there is no law, and the jury's gonna acquit me, and they're gonna be a big black guy for the government. So they will not come after me because they know I know the law. And you could be the same way if you just read the law like this. And these commerce calls, folks, the government will not try using them against me because they know this commerce call will go to the jury. And the jury will have to look up all these laws that I've shown them to read for themselves to see what the law actually says versus the corrupt government paid by this crooked, wimpy judge who always tell the jurors, do not go read the law on your own. Do not go on internet at home tonight and look up the law for yourself. I am the source of law. Me, the judge, I'll give it to you. I'll tell you what it is. You should just take my word for it because I am the judge. That is how it works in a court of law. The judge lies to the jury, tells them there's a law, and does not show the jury the actual language of the law. But I will show you the actual language of the law, and you're reading it right now in front of you. So there's a 1-year prison sentence, a person who doesn't file income tax potentially can go to prison. And this is the only law there is for just simply not filing a 1040 income tax confession form. That's it. At most 1 year of prison, at most. It's a misdemeanor, folks, not a felony. Misdemeanor. Misdemeanors are minor crimes. For every 1040 income tax confession form that supposedly you are required to file that you did not file. 1 year misdemeanor maximum. For example, the actor Wesley Snipes, okay, he got charged with a bunch of stuff, and he got 3 years of 1040 income tax confession forms. I got convicted, and the judge, because the government lost all the other major serious charges, the papers and letters he sent to the IRS, because he followed the patriot mythology guru Eddie Kane with a bunch of nonsense. Okay, Eddie Kane had misled him. So the jury acquitted him of all those other charges. So the judge gave Eddie Kane maximum of 1 year per those years, 3 years maximum jail sentence. And he served only about 2.5 years of that before he was halfway house to home, approximately. That's the worst of it, even for a multi-million-dollar actor with his knives. Okay, now from here on, folks, we're going to go to multiple tax crimes in the IRS code. And most of them apply only to filers. And they're felonies. Felonies means you get more than 1 year prison sentence. You get 3 or 5 years maximum prison sentence for felonies. Sounds incredible? Well, let's go and take a look for ourselves. Bring up a new tab on your computer, okay? And type it again. 26 space USC. This time, let's type another section, okay? Let's type up section 7201. 7201, enter. 7201. Okay, now this time for me, GPO.gov did come out. That's the government printing office. That's my third one for me. Okay. So 7201, I'm going to click on that. It's the third one for my Google search. Maybe yours comes up a different place, okay? If you don't get GPO.gov, for you, Cornell Law came up. For me, Cornell Law came up first. Click on that. Read it there. But I like to go to the government's own website always whenever I can. So let's go and right-click on that section 7201. I'll open the link in a new tab. And here we go. The law comes up. But you have to now read it in the text or PDF format. See, in the formats, in the top center, go a little bit lower, a little bit down from the top, you see the word text in blue. Okay, click on that letter, the word text in blue, okay? And the law will come up to you in a text format. And there it is, on the top left of the page, you can print this out. You can print this out from your computer, and this is officially from the U.S. government. I'll read it to you on the top left. 26 U.S.C. United States Code, 2011 edition, Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, Subchapter F, Procedure Administration, Chapter 75, Other Offices and Forfeitures, Subchapter A, Crimes, Part A, Joint Provisions, Section 7201, Attempt to Evade or Defeat Tax, from the U.S. Government Printing Office, www.gpo.gov. You can't get more official than that. So it doesn't matter what that crooked judge tried to hide. You can go look at the law for yourself, jury. Give you the jury. Read the law for yourself, folks. Section 7201. Let's read it. Attempt to evade or defeat tax. It says, any person who willfully attempts in any manner to evade or defeat any tax imposed by this title or the payment thereof shall, in addition to other penalties provided by law, be guilty of a felony and upon conviction thereof shall be fined not more than 100,000 or imprisoned not more than 5 years or both, together with the cost of prosecution. You could be someone who files a 1031 or not file. Okay? And you could potentially be charged with this. But as a non-filer, the only way they could get you is if they come after you, assess the tax, and you evaded the tax. You didn't pay the tax. That's the only way they can get you here, because they're, you know, you don't file. How do you evade by not filing? You just didn't file a 1044. That's not evading. You just did nothing. You stayed in bed on April 15th. You went swimming at the beach on April 15th. You didn't do anything. So you have to actually do something. You have to attempt in any manner to do something. You have to do something active to evade. Well, not filing itself is not an action. It's a non-action. So they cannot come after you for not acting. What they can get you, don't file and not pay after government assess or determine tax against you. Then they could come after for this as a non-filer for every year. Now, of course, for a filer, though, they can come after a filer for filing and not paying, because they say you evaded a tax by not paying, right? You attempt to evade the tax. You evaded paying, Mr. Filer. So, but this also includes folks on your 1040 income tax confession form. Any problem in there, any mistake, any omission, something you forgot to put on there or list there, or you made a miscalculation. Oops, that was an attempt to evade or defeat the tax. Yes. People, maybe they list all the income in there. Fine. That's one thing. You did you made up some phony expense of depreciation. Oh, they can get you for that. But even if you use a wrong depreciation table, a wrong method of depreciation, credits or amortization, or the tax rate you put on, all the stuff you did wrong, whatever you did wrong on the 1040 income tax confession form, if it lowered the amount of tax that you would owe on the form, it shows a lower number than it would have been, well, it's the definition of attempting to evade or defeat the tax. So as you can see already, there is a lot more situation and things that you may do that could potentially get you charged with tax evasion. This is a tax evasion charge. You know, you don't list all the income, you make up expenses or deductions, or you don't keep record of them. Don't keep the record or expenses, too bad. The government says you made it up, you lied. You simply did not have such an expense or deduction that you cannot document. That was just an attempt for you to evade or defeat the tax, in addition to not paying the tax. So here we see already that there's much more situations. The same crime could be applied to a person who filed a 1040 income tax confession form versus someone who doesn't do that. Okay? Now, let's go to another law that you'll see applies only to people who file 1040 income tax confession form. On the new tab, type it again, 26 space USC space 7204. Okay, 7204. And here we go, gpo.gov comes up for me. Here again, it's the corner of law. I go to gpo.gov, right click on that, and open that link in a new tab. Okay, and on the near the top center, a little bit lower, you you see the blue writing letter and text, right? It's in blue. Click on that text then in blue, and that's going to take you. There it is, 26 U.S.C. 7204, fraudulent statement, okay? Or failure to make statement to employees, okay? Well, here it is. In lieu of any other penalty provided by law, as means instead of any person required under provision of section 605 to furnish a statement who willfully furnishes a false or fraudulent statement, or who willfully fails to furnish a statement in the manner at the time and showing information required under section 605 or regulations described thereunder, shall for each offense upon conviction be fined more than 1,000 or in prison not more than 1 year. Well, this is for someone who is required to file under section 720, under section 605, furnish a statement. Well, this is not a 10-point tax law, so we're going to skip this one. See, so some of these sections, folks, you know, don't apply to 10-point income tax people. We're going to go another, open a new tab and go section 7205. Okay. So 26 base USC 7205. And it's a, here I got this time GPO.gov also came. For me, this time came the third tab. Let's go to right click on that third search result that came. Open a link in the new tab. And then GPO.gov comes, and the top center near the top, below the top a little bit, text in blue is written. Click on that. And that's fraudulent withholding exemption certificate or failure to supply information. Okay. Well, it says withholding on wages. Any individual required to supply information to his employer under section 3402 will willfully supplies false or fraudulent information, which would require an increase in the tax to be held under section 3402, in addition to any other penalty provided by law. Upon conviction, there will be fined not more than 1,000 or in prison not more than 1 year. So, this law applies to files and non files on a W-4 form if you're a wage earner. If you put false stuff under the W-4, okay, or you don't put anything on there, they can come after you, just the same. So with this law, filers and non-filers are at the same, okay. Well, let's go to the next section of law, folks. We're going to go to the new tab and look at section 7206. 26 U.S.C. section 7206, let's type that in, folks. And see where that takes us. See, they put these tax laws for the same area, one after another, easy to find them all. Okay. For me, also, it came GPO.gov, the reference dollars came up. A second search result for me, and open the link in a new tab. And let's see, I don't like that one. That's PDF, one hard to read. Let's go to the first one, which is Cornell Law. Easier to read. Right click on that. Here's Cornell Law School website, section 7206, fraud and false statements. Any person who, right, number one, declaration under penalties of perjury, willfully makes and subscribes any return statement or document which contains or is verified by a written declaration that it is made under the penalties of perjury and which he does not believe to be true and correct as to every material matter, folks. Go down, folks, to the very last paragraph of this law, very last paragraph, and it says, shall be guilty of a felony and upon conviction thereof shall be fined not more than $100,000 or imprisoned nor more than 3 years or both together with the cost of prosecution. There it is, folks. You just see for yourself, 3 years for people who follow a return which the government can convince a jury that you did not believe he was true as to every fact. Why? You had expenses listed on your tax return that you couldn't find the documentation for, so you must have made it up and lied about it. You have deductions in there, or you know, amortization schedule you did, or the credit schedules, or whatever, that was not right. You knew it was not right. And you deliberately put the wrong thing on there. You see, folks, that so far, the law for tax filers here provides 3 times longer prison sentence under Section 7206. Compared to Section 7203 for simply not filing. 3 times longer prison sentence for every tax return, remember, for every year. So 2012, 13, 14, 15 are all each separate years that you could go to prison for as a filer or non-filer. So to give an example, they come after you for 5 years at a time. Does that? Usually they come out to you for 3 or 6 years at a time or more to show there's a pattern to the jury. Deliberately, you know, here we have 5 years. Simple and non-filing would be 5 years of go to prison maximum. But here you got 5 times 3, 15 years of prison for a filer. Would you rather face 5 years in prison or 15 years? I know a lot of you say, I don't want either. I understand you don't want either one, 5 or 15 years. I understand that. But listen, there's no choice. You're either pregnant or not. There's no halfway or doesn't apply. Okay? Of course, you're going to pick 5 years, not the 15 year, which filers are risking. Now, you think that was it, folks? You think that's all filers fall facing? Wrong. There is more. That's right. There's more risk for filers. We're going to go look up another code section. Yes. 26 USC space 7207. Okay. And for me again, the court of law school comes up. And let's find out the first search result for me. Right click on that, open the link in a new tab. And there it is, fraudulent returns, statements, or other documents. And it says, any person who willfully delivers or discloses to the secretary any list, return, account, statement, or other documents, known by it to be fraudulent, or to be false as any material matter, shall be fined no more than $10,000 or prison no more than 1 year or both. Extra bonus for people who file a return. It says right there, any person who willfully, right, delivers, you know, or discloses to secretary any list, return. You deliver a return, 10-point return to the secretary of the IRS, you got this extra bonus of 1 year prison sentence. You got a 4th year exclusively for people who file, exclusively for those who deliver a return, a 1040 income tax confession form to the IRS. So this is just an extra, adding extra salt to the injury. Congress put in there for people who file returns, 1040 income tax confession forms. So now in our previous example, we got 1 year under this law, 7207 for filers go to prison. Under Section 7206 was 3 years for filers. That's 4 years combined for filers. It was non-filers under Section 7203, 1 year prison sentence, misdemeanor. 1 year misdemeanor for non-filers for every tax return. Whereas 4 years, a misdemeanor and a felony for filers. So if the IRS comes after you for 5 years as a non-filer, you get at most 5 year prison sentence. But as a filer, you get 5 years times 4 years of prison, 20 years of prison sentence as a filer of 1040 income tax confession forms. Which would you rather face? Maximum 5 years as a non-filer or 20 years as a non-filer or 20 years as a filer? The answer seems rather obvious, isn't it, folks? Now, remember, they can come after you for like tax evasion after filer or non-filer, okay? But, you know, a lot of times, they don't come after you as a non-filer, for example. As a non-filer, they do not always come after you for tax evasion. You just simply didn't file. Charge them with that crime, okay, with tax evasion. They didn't even charge them that. They just charge them with 7203, go out to file a tax return, and some other stuff like conspiracy to defeat the government, stuff like that. It's not here. Other conspiracy charges. They came after what's the size. So, folks, here it is. Take it to the bank. Take this to your tax preparer. Okay, take this, print out these laws, okay, and show it to your tax preparer. Bookkeeper, accountant, certified public accountant, enrolled agents, IRS agent, tax attorney, lawyer, judge, government employee, IRS employee. Show them and say, is this what? Are my eyes deceiving me? Am I missing something? I printed this from the, you know, government printing office and on Cornell Law University websites, you know? Is this amazing or what? You see, folks, ignorance has a high price. High price of ignorance is when we take actions for us. Facts a lot of times of action we take as a result of ignorance are far worse than if he had done simply nothing. If you stayed home on April 15th and enjoyed the movie with your family, a nice dinner with your family. But they've deceived us, they've lied to us, folks. In Iran, folks, where I came from, I was raised in the 60s and 70s. Yeah, no, could not criticize the government like I'm doing here. You could not expose their lies. You go to prison. Summarily, trial, no trial, torture, executed for being anti-government, anti-king. No, that was not politically correct over there. But in America, we have guaranteed the right of free speech for me to speak about this stuff, to press, to publish this kind of information, to simple talk with you on these conference calls and share this information with you, and they can't stop us, folks. So what's stopping the American people from wholesale revolting against this law-breaking by the government? Against this deception by the mass media and the government and politicians. The only thing stopping us, folks, is ourselves. It's ourselves. Whether we're closed-minded, have our mind made up, don't want to listen, don't want to hear, I know it, this is a scam, this is a fraud, these fake news, whatever people say. Yeah, put this out on Facebook, they're closed-minded fools. They think they know, but they don't know nothing. In reality, or we're too busy. The beer and barbecue and hot dog that we get to watch the latest football game, or baseball, or soap opera, or television show. You know, all the entertainment stuff we're just busy with. To take the time. About our rights and the law as free American men and women. That's the only thing that stops us from knowing all this. And now, what you should do, folks, is do what you know you need to do, what you want to do. Share this information, this conference call from this call. And the last call we had, February 9th. and February 2nd, 2017. Share this post with your friends, neighbors, coworkers. Email it to them. Put it on your Facebook page. Put it on Instagram. Yay. Snapchat. Let them know about this stuff, folks. These days, Twitter. Let them know about these things, folks. Because that's the key to getting our freedom back. Is each of you, each of us, exercising, using our First Amendment guaranteed right to free speech and share eye-opening information about government lies and corruption to our fellow Americans. So that's my invitation to you folks. What I'm going to, and now next week, I'm going to cover on how to protect yourself. Okay, how to protect yourself from IRS criminal tax charges. Okay, I'm going to cover next week how you can, you know, minimize the chance of government coming after you as a filer. That'll be on the 23rd of February, and the following week. On March 2nd, I will talk about how you can protect yourself even better, even stronger, as a non-filer. I'll give you a hint. The protection for a filer are not as effective, not as strong, as the protection for someone who simply doesn't file a 1040 income tax confession form. But you don't have to believe me. No, sir. You can call in. Next 2 weeks, the answers, which I'm telling you, demonstrated just like this. I'll show you to prove it to you, and you'll understand for yourself the truth. Because that is famous saying goes, folks. See the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So let's go to our callers. Who may have questions, folks. As I said before, Freedom Law School is a source of education and answers for you that work. And I want to help everybody. But I'm very busy, folks. Very, very busy. I'm a family man with children at home. So I make myself available every Thursday night like this so that I can, you know, answer as many of your questions, issues you're having with freedom, whether it's the IRS, a state income tax agency, traffic tickets, police abuse of power, anything. Help you out with the answers as best as possible. And otherwise, I'm available for private one-on-one consultations as well, but let me see if I can help you for free on this conference call first. And also by doing that, folks, hopefully other people will learn from your question and the answer as well. That's the beauty of this conference calls, to also learn from your question and your experience to help them live free. So let's go to my caller, 610. Okay. And folks, before you ask your question, I'll ask you to just tell me two things, all of you. Have a question, tell me how you heard about us, because we'd like to know how we are reaching the American people, how we are reaching you. So that's the first thing. Tell me, and then your state you're calling from, and then your question, please. So the call from area code 610, do you have a question? So please announce yourself now. 610. Okay. Let's go to our next caller who may have a question. There's someone using some kind of a private calling service where your number shows a bunch of ones. So you're next, my friend. You have a question you want to ask me? So please announce.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My name's Joe, and I'm from California. And my question, thank you. First of all, thank you so much for everything you're doing here. My question is... I've always paid taxes, started working as a teenager in the late 80s, and then about 2012, well, we lost our house in 2008 because of all of that problem. But stopped paying taxes, and we got a call from the IRS, and we got certified letters, and that eventually led us into a repayment plan, where we had to pay monthly payments and go on to like a quarterly payment schedule for current taxes. But anyways, that didn't work out financially for us, so we kind of let that drop off, and we stopped paying taxes until 2016, and we filed in 2016. And when we did, I had been reading all kinds of different things on the internet and researching and trying to educate myself. And I'm sure you're familiar with a book called Cracking the Code. So sure, I got into that book and I started using those methods, and everything seemed to be okay. I started getting letters saying that, you know, we readjusted and zero balance, and we applied this balance to another credit or another payment that was due. But that eventually led to me getting a letter saying that returns that I sent were frivolous. And the latest letter I got says that we owe, I'm not sure how to read it, but it's anywhere between $10,000 and $40,000 now because of a frivolous penalty. So we're kind of in bind. We don't know what to do from this point. Should we just stop communicating with them? Or I'd like to hear your feedback on that.
Well, is it $10,000 they're claiming you owe them, or $40,000? Well, that was a pretty wide margin of error there. Where did you get the number $40,000 from?
Well, the reason why I say that is because they sent us four letters. But looking at it, it's one addressed to my wife, one addressed to me for two different years, so four letters. And they all just say $10,000 on each one of them.
And they have imposed the penalties, $5,000 for each of you for each of the years, or are they threatening, or they actually have done it? The letters are, I would have them in front of me, but it's two different types.
My best guess is that it's $5,000 each for me and my spouse, and then for two different years.
Right.
So,
well, have the penalties been imposed, or they are threatening? I don't have a letter, my friend. I need to see a letter. Ideally.
Okay, so they threatened, and then so I sent a response using techniques that I read in that book and on the finding on the website, and then I got the frivolous fine imposed.
Okay. And how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
I read a searching on the internet, and Joe Bannister also helped me find you.
Okay. You called him, or you went to his website, you mean?
Pardon me?
You went to his website?
Yeah, I've been on websites for Freedom to Fascism. I've saw some of your presentations online on YouTube as well, and just doing all kinds of research. That's how I eventually found you.
Okay, very good, my friend. Well, congratulations for finding Freedom Law School. I wish you found us a lot sooner before you had done these, you know, cracking the code, tax return paperwork. Because the fact that, as much as I think Pete Henderson is an intelligent man, is an educated man, and I think what he principally says in this book is correct and true. Okay, and I have respect for the man. The problem is that the government is a bunch of crooks and thieves and criminals running those places who are interested in only money. They don't care about the law. Okay, and so they know the language of the law, as you see in these conference calls. They deliberately knowingly ignore the law, and they did it with Donald Trump, the president. You know, he had every power to the law, so you can stop any group individual or group of individuals from coming to the United States on his own. Trump could just anytime do that as a president, you know, and the crooked judge in Seattle and the court of appeal judges said, no, you can't do that. You know, why? And we can do it. Why? Because we're the judges. Because we interpret the constitutional laws. The constitutional laws do not say what they say, Joe. In practice, the constitutional laws say what these unelected lawyers in a black robe on a bench claim the law and the constitution says. They changed the law and the constitution to what they wanted to be. We are ruled now by these unelected judges. And that's the problem with the income tax, is that Pete Hennigsen returns are correct, the IRS processes them. Oftentimes they give you credits and or refunds, but a good number of times they don't give you that at all, credits or refunds. And a good number of times, in addition to those, they actually penalize you like they did in your case. Let me ask you, how much of refunds or credits did those tax returns give you, or the Peterson method? I have you just filed, I think, 4852s. How much did they give you credits and with those papers that you filed with the IRS? Do you remember approximately?
So I was expecting, yeah, so it's for two different years, and I was expecting a little over 3,000 for one and just under 9,000 for the other.
For about $12,000.
Correct.
Now, did they reverse those $12,000 of credits and refunds or not?
I'm sorry, you cut out for a second. Could you repeat that?
Did they return, or did they give you those refunds and credits, or did they take those back also?
So I was submitting, they were submitting 1040s for the first time, and my wife was employed and she had taxes taken out of her check, and so we filed zero returns, and mm-hmm. with the calculations on the form, the zero returns say we're supposed to get, you know, that money back, and that's what mm-hmm. we submitted.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can tell you this, but although we probably should do a private one-on-one consultation later on, so I can see the paperwork that you filed and the letters of the IRS better. Okay, because I'm not telling you for sure, but based upon what you're telling me, without seeing your paperwork to see if everything's correct or out of context, what you're telling me, my friend, because people often tell me stuff that's not accurate on the calls. But
sure,
yeah, at this point, you are unfortunately stuck with that $40,000. And the only way that they would take those off is for you to follow a regular conventional 1040 income tax confession form. And at that time,
sure. Can you repeat that? The only way to take it off is to do
at this point, they'll take them off is for you to contact the IRS and have filed a regular income tax confession form. I don't like
confession
it.
Form.
I hate it. Yes, return confession. It's a confession form. Those returns are not returns, they're confession forms. So you have to follow regular 1040 income tax forms and ask the IRS to take those off. Okay, that's the only way you can be able to do that at this point. Because when you go, if you take this issue to the courts, the tax court, the federal court, the tax court and the federal courts can penalize you, not $5,000 per letter of return that you submitted to the IRS. They can punish you up to $25,000 each time for each year that you do this. Of course, you want to make this problem bigger, make it $40,000, it could be up to, you know, $200,000 more. Just in penalties alone, you owe nothing. So I'm afraid that's very likely, it's the only way from what you're telling me to reverse the situation. And then for the next year, you can stop filing if you want to do that correctly. Okay. You know, and, you know, what really should happen, this should be ideally, you know, don't file anything at all. Now, you can minimize the withholding if you want to in the first place or not. It's up to you. But so you don't try to get the money back by doing this. In fact, that's what got me in trouble back in 1993. The last 1040 I filed was because, you know, I want to get, you know, $600 withholding money back. You know, don't feel bad. I made the same mistake as you. I'm not perfect. We got mistakes. Okay. Yeah. Don't make mistakes. We just gotta learn from it. So, but that's probably the case. Now, if you, I could further go into more detail and find out more about this and give more over your particular situation of what you can and should do the proper procedures. You know, in a private consultation, it'd be $240 cash only for 1 hour. I recommend you do that, my friends. I can go over all of your options privately and plan it for me forward so you don't make the mistakes again, my friend. Okay, Joe?
Okay, so how do I get that to you? So just on your website, is there information for that?
Yes, livefreedom.org. Your address is on there in Florida, Brooksville, Florida. Send the $240 cash, your tax returns, IRS letters, everything. You write me, maybe if you want half a page or two on your situation, make sure you have phone numbers, all your phone numbers there. Send by priority mail. As soon as your package is received, you'll be called to set up a time for us to talk.
Great. Thank you, sir.
You are most welcome, Joe. Stay on the call, my friend. You may have questions and answers. Also informative. Okay, folks, let's go to our next caller from area code 831. They call from area code 831. If you have any questions, please announce yourself at this time. Can I hear you, my friend? You can call back if you want. If you have a question, maybe I'll hear you next time. Right now, your phone is not working properly.
Hello?
Oh, yes. Is this call from 831?
Yes.
Oh, yes. There you go, ma'am. I can hear you. Call from 831. What's your name?
It's really broken up. Eileen.
Eileen. Very good. Eileen. Okay. Where are you calling from?
Santa Cruz.
California. Yes. Yes. Very good, Eileen. And how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
I found you on the internet and saw you on, it was on the internet.
How did you get to us? So do you remember what led you to us?
My question, Penny, was, I received a letter from the Franchise Tax Board, and they're requesting my phone number. I've been keeping everything, all my correspondence in writing, and I want to do that. I don't want to have a phone conversation with them. So am I required to give them a phone number, or can I just call them from a pay phone and tell them I want to keep everything in writing?
You don't even have to respond to that letter, Eileen.
Okay.
Ask, that's when you have to answer.
I'm sorry, it's
neighbor. They can ask, just like your neighbor can ask and say, hey, Eileen, I want $1 million from you. Would you please give it to me? Do you have to give it to them?
No.
Okay. They have to even answer such a request.
Okay, so I'm not obligated to give them a phone number.
No, they're not gods. They don't require a response at all. You simply ignore them. Why do they want your number anyhow? What's the reason they claim they want your number? Do you know? What does the letter say? Why they want your number?
So is there a way that I can listen to the call on the internet as opposed to over my telephone? Because it's really broken up. Terribly broken up.
Yes, you can go to the our website, and there's a link on our website at livefreenow.org.
Oh, okay.
At Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com.
Okay.
That's where
and
we're
then
at.
Can maybe I don't know how much time it would take, but I was interested in what they actually charged Jackson with. I forget her first name, but she was the IRS agent that was on that Freedom to Fascism.
Sure.
What did they actually?
Yes, Sherrod Jackson. Huh? Yes, what about her?
What was it that they charged her with?
They charged Sherrod Jackson for under Section 7203, I covered tonight, for willful failure to file tax return charges.
Okay.
And
2 years in jail.
She got 4 years. She got convicted of those 4 years and got convicted and got 4 years. Maximum sentence was 4 years. She got that. She served about 3.5 years and then was out. Little halfway house and she was out.
And then 2 years was solitary confinement too.
That's because other stuff that happened inside the jail. I'm not sure about the length of that because inside the jail there was other stuff going on in there. That was not because the judge ordered that. The judge did not order that. That stuff that happened between her and the prison officials. And the reason she lost, by the way, people ask this question from time to time, and you should know, I was there at Sherry Jackson's trial. And in my opinion, the reason she lost is the same reason that Garman charged her for. And the same reason, but the opposite of Joe Bannister was the government never went after Joe Bannister. They never charged Joe Bannister with same failed to file tax return charges. And that's because the government knew Joe Bannister was prepared. Joe Bannister had confronted the IRS, the government, and demanded that the government answer and refute his legal conclusions about the income tax law fraud. And the government utterly failed to come forward to show the law. Sherry Jackson never did the same process. And she also wasn't prepared like Joe Bannister was. Yeah, they came after Joe Bannister with other stuff. A conspiracy with this Al Thompson guy who was a loose cannon because of Al Thompson did some wrong stuff. And because Joe Bannister spoke at his events as his company one time live on recorded video and being recorded by the New York Times. And because Joe Bannister, the A61 tax return of Al Thompson, based on the section A61 of the IRS code return, the government came after Joe Bannister and lost because there was nothing wrong with what Joe Bannister did at all. Sherry Jackson, however, they felt they could get, and sure enough, it showed because she was not prepared. I was there in court when the IRS lawyer opened up the IRS code section to section one of the code. It says, here it is. Here's the section of law of the code. It's a law imposing a tax on individuals. Mm-hmm. It's hereby imposed on a taxable income of individuals. Blah, 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 blah. And her answer was, I'm not a person. Now, the average juror thinks, what do you mean you're not a person? How is it you're not a person? Of course, she didn't further explain how she's not a person. She just said, I'm not a person. Well, the bigger, better, more clear issue for her to explain is I don't have taxable income. Taxable income is defined under section code IRS 60, section 61 and 63. Just like Tommy Cryer, the freedom lawyer who beat the IRS, he talked about that. But he doesn't have any taxable income per Supreme Court decisions. So she wasn't prepared, and that's why, unfortunately, she ended up in prison. So if you prepare, which we'll talk about the future calls, like your parents did, you don't have to go to prison either. Does that help you a little bit with your question, Eileen?
Well, I am only getting like every third word that you're saying. So do you have the archives on your website into what it is you said clearly?
On Blog Talk Radio, it's there, and we'll be putting them on YouTube also. So you can listen to them there.
When will it be posted?
When will it be posted?
Yes.
Within a week.
Within a week?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
You're most welcome, Miley. Let's go to our caller from area code 630. The caller from area code 630. Are you there? Okay. Do you have a question? Call from area code 630. Okay, no question. They're from call from area code 630. Let's go to our call from area code. Okay, 916. We call from 916 area code, not too far from the dam in Northern California that just had problems. Water running. Are you safe there? The water within the dam out there. Yeah, question, my friend.
Had a real bad connection, Paymon, but I'm just listening in. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Yes. Yes, feel for the Orville Dam. There we go. That's the Orville Dam. Yes, I wish you your way from that troubles, my friend. Well, folks, this is the Commerce Club for tonight. Basically, I'm covering a lot of information for you. Next week, as I said, we're going to be covering about different aspects of this whole income tax issue. This is a good time for you to invite your friends, co-workers, family members. And if you ever miss any of these conference calls, you can always listen to the record of the calls later on. So thank you very much for being with me. I appreciate the opportunity to share this information with you. And I look forward to being with you again next Thursday, February 23rd, 2017, with you. Good night.